Hello and welcome to a brand new edition of the Current Account Podcast. I'm your host, Hamsini Karthik, and joining me today is Mr. Sridhar Shivraman of Enam. Sridhar is an investment director at Enam Holdings. He's also a very avid forester, a tiger lover in particular. But there's something else that also caught his attention more so lately, those of PSU banking stocks. Sridhar is here with us to discuss whether there's more steam left in the PSU bank stocks rally, why he likes this basket a lot more than what he did about 3 years back. Should the improvement in numbers be seen as a tactical improvement or a long-term fundamental change that is sort of playing out in the market? Listening to this interesting conversation.
We're going to talk about a subject which is very pet to you. I remember three, four years back when we caught up on this, you said PSU banks are more a tactical call for you.
Yeah.
From there, you've become a lot more bullish.
Sure.
Why the change in stance?
So I think I'll go back to November of 2020 when we did our first call with the PSU bank CEO. And I remember telling, my colleague that let's just, it was a Zoom call and we were still in some sort of a semi-lockdown at that time. I said, let's get into the call just to understand what is happening to the government had this credit guarantee program for SMEs. We'll understand from the CEO as to what is the progress, how is the whole thing working. And as we were, continuing with the call, we realized that the pre-provision profit of the bank is more than the market cap at that point of time.
Yes.
So we knew that, something drastic mispricing is happening. Your risk reward was so much in your favor. Your, dividend yield was almost 8-9%. But they were barred from paying dividend at that point of time.
Yes.
But if at all, whenever they do, we knew that this is how the whole thing will stack out. It wasn't really a growth story. And then when we did more analysis, we realized that their credit costs were almost from 250 to 300 basis points, most banks. And they've been providing similar numbers for the previous 4 years also. As a result, the overall coverage had significantly improved. Because if you go back to Raghuram Rajan's days and then how the cleanup of banks happened, most banks have done a lot of cleanup. So the cleanup process was, I would say, 75% already completed. COVID-related, whatever NPAs were to happen, that would have also happened at that point of time. So I think that's how the starting point was. I don't think we ever expected that this will become a significant position for us, or I'll become very bullish on PSU banks. I think it started from there. And I think the rest is history, because as we continue tracking these banks, we realize that they did a very good job of managing the risk of the bank. The credit cost started to moderate on a gradual basis. It wasn't like a very sharp moderation. So we could see that credit cost coming down to 2 and then to 150, and now most banks are below 100 basis
below
points,
100.
Barring a few of them. I think the other point I would say is that in the last 3 years, so if I go back to FY21, the top 7 PSU banks combined had a profit of around 30,000 crores.
Yes.
This year, the year which went by, FY24, that number will be closer to 1,30,000, 1,25,000 to 1,30,000 crores. Almost a 300% profit growth for the top 7 banks. And if I look at the return numbers of the banks, which is the stock price returns, each and every bank has done lesser than their profit growth.
Yes.
So effectively what it means is that they have got derated, or the stock price hasn't kept pace with their profits. So that's how we still bullish on some of the banks, not all of them now, but surely a lot of them even now.
Perfect. There's one interesting point that you made on credit costs. Much of the rally was a sort of anchoring around the fact that we're at a phase where credit costs will have to come down. That will add to the pool of Kindle and in turn help the stock rally. We have seen at least 3/4 of that thesis play out. Like you said, there are some of the banks which are at 50 bips or even lower in terms of credit costs. So clearly the next leg of alpha on for the PSU banks will have to depend on something else, not just the asset quality theses. Yeah. Where do you see that alpha coming from?
Yeah, so there's still banks which have credit cost north of 100 basis points. So we currently are bullish on those where we see a delta. We think a normalized 75 basis points credit cost is reasonable. So we think the banks which have credit cost higher than 1% surely have some room. Outside that, I think the story to a very large extent, I think, is played out. And from here on, it will be more earnings related story. So if their earnings grow at 5% or 10%, whatever is the operating profit growth, then ideally, I don't see too much of re-rating happening from here. But at least the returns will normalize for some of the PSU banks. And the ones which have lower credit costs will continue to show profit growth north of 25%, which in a market like this is very, very difficult to find, especially in the banking space, to get something which can show a 20-25% profit growth. I think those are the ones where we think that the rally can continue for some more time.
Perfect. You also mentioned a point around operational efficiencies. You speak to a lot of PSU bankers every day. Do you get a sense that the way PSU banks do business today has improved vis-a-vis what was 5 years back? Are you feeling more comfortable with their underwriting practices? What are your thoughts on the balance sheet?
So I think I've interacted with most PSU banks in the last 3-4 years. And I can clearly say that this lot of bankers, and in a lot of the banks, the CEO has changed, the CFO has changed. But I think the thought process of having a stronger bank, providing more than what is required, is a statement that resonates across most PSU banks. And I think the other thing I would say is that we have PSU banks with, say, ROA is closer to 2% to PSU banks with ROA is close to, say, 70 basis points. So can I give the same price to book multiple to all of them? I could have banks with ROEs of close to 25% to ROEs of 10%. So I think it from a stage in, say, late or early 21, when it was just buy the basket, it's now become a very stock specific.
Okay, that's interesting.
If your CASA is above 50, then you know in a situation like this, that is a premium. Your cost to income is closer to 40. I mean, those are the things which will differentiate now. And I think there are quite a few which stand out there. So I think this whole thing of buying all the PSU banks, that game is over. Maybe the stocks will run up or it'll correct. I don't know. But at least the ones where I have comfort is where the numbers, look good. And I know that the earnings growth will be reasonably good given the credit cost moderation, which I still expect over the next 2 years.
Over the next 2 years, you expect this moderation?
I don't think all of it will happen in 1 year. So I think it'll happen over the next 2 years. So if we get, say, if you are at 110, it may go to, say, 80 or then go to 75. So that's how I'm saying that. You can still get profit growth even the year after that, but that's too far down the line. I think we are keeping a close watch on this, because what we want to see is how the credit cost is playing out, and if there is new NPA accretion, because that is the other thing which the market's worried. So we keep a close watch on this.
What has been your observation on new NPA accretion? Are you comfortable there the way most of them are doing business, or is that something that you'd like to keep a watch on and therefore pull some money out of some of the counters?
So I think we are in a golden phase as far as NPA is concerned, and I think one of the banker also said that this is the Cinderella moment. It is turned out to be a Cinderella moment where the actual disclosed NPA numbers have been, you know, very moderate.
Very moderate.
And I think generally one would believe that it's broadly in line. There will be some pockets of irrationality in some of the banks. But otherwise, generally you feel, because you're seeing the same trend across banks. Especially, say, unsecured personal loan, MFIs, and gold loan is something which the Reserve Bank has been talking about. So these are the pockets which we're keeping a close watch on. But broadly, I think as we speak, things look good, but things can change very fast, as we know, in the banking sector. Mm. So we do a lot of analysis. We are the ones who go into deep analysis in balance sheets. So as soon as the balance sheet is out, we would look at, you know, numbers which are disclosed and what is also not disclosed. So,
great.
So we keep a close eye. So we don't have anything specific that we are married to this PSU thing. Things where we think it has played out, we exited.
Mm.
We still have a few PSUs.
There is a narrative which is somewhere getting built that, you know, one should look at PSU banks over private banks, that there's more alpha to be made there versus private banks. Do you buy it? Do you see merit to it? Or do you see if somebody wants to enter the banking space right now, one should just wait, that the timing may not be just appropriate just yet?
So I think the big alpha is already over. I mean, look at the returns that some of these PSU banks have given over the last 3-4 years. I mean, fortunately, we caught literally the bottom, thanks to the CEO and the QIP that the company wanted to do. But I think now a lot of it is already priced in.
Mm.
From here on, as I said, it's going to be very stock specific. So I'm not going to differentiate between private and public, because even private sector has their own issues of, you know, CD ratios, and larger ones have to, you know, bring their CD ratios down, and that comes at a cost, which is the profitability.
Mm.
But keep in mind that those companies, those stocks haven't done anything. Maybe the market's pricing a lot of that.
Mm.
So I think in my view from here, banking stocks is very stock specific. I mean, 3 years back, I was, you know, very clear it's PSUs over private. I think now it is more very stock specific. We like some private banks, we like some PSU banks. So the basket is a bit more balanced now.
And this was also a sector which gave out a lot of multi-baggers till probably 2020, post which we've not seen the concept of multi-baggers coming from banks. Do you expect that lull to continue? Do you expect multi-baggers as a word?
The multi-baggers didn't happen from the private side. We got multiple multi-baggers from the PSU side. So we're not complaining about it. So we are happy. So, and it's a very under-invested segment. Nobody wanted to touch PSU banks. I mean, this is a segment which had destroyed wealth for, 10 years or maybe 20 years.
Yes.
I mean, there's no right or wrong in this. I mean, I learned very early in my investing career that, you know, we all have biases for investing, but when you go for a company meeting or you're meeting a management, you try and keep as much of your bias away. If I had kept my bias along with me, I wouldn't have invested in PSU Bank, because that is a general bias that, you know, these companies have destroyed wealth.
Yes.
So it's easier said than done, but that's a general mantra, that keep your biases away. So keeping that, I think some of these private banks haven't given returns, but we think they look good now. And maybe there is a lull in terms of earnings for the next few quarters, but this is a time to build a portfolio.
Cool. We'll leave it at that. Thank you so much for joining in.
Yeah, thank you.
With that, it's a wrap on this edition of the Current Account Podcast. We'll come back very soon in about a fortnight with another very interesting topic. Till then, it's your host signing off. Take care and stay safe.